Welcome to another great message from Influencers Church Australia. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencerschurch.com. We hope that this message blesses you.
Thank you. Awesome. You can take a seat tonight. It's great to see you in the house of God. Kids, I'm pumped you're here. Can I tell you, I've ministered in more than 500 churches around the world. I want to tell you, there's a handful that are brave enough to let the kids come in the main sanctuary. Because do you know what happens when you let the kids come into the sanctuary? They can encounter the power and the presence and the glory of God. I'm not saying they don't get it in kids' church. I'm just saying when they get to come in and hear the man of God, anointed by God, come and speak the word, or the woman of God, anointed by God in kids' church, speak the word over your children's life. It stops us from living a statistical life. When our kids get to 16 and 17, they fall away. Why do they fall away? Because they don't really know God. They know all about Him. They know all about the things that He's done, but they haven't seen Him with their own eyes manifest in their life. They haven't encountered His presence in a way that changes who they are. Friends, I'm so grateful to be a part of a house where our kids' ministry, our kids' pastors are committed to more than playing games with our kids, but are committed to them encountering the presence of God. Because I want to tell you, there is nothing that I want in this life more than my children to run after Jesus with everything. I don't want them. You see, I'm the result of generational blessing where my parents made a whole bunch of mistakes. My dad was an alcoholic. My mom was depressed. They were getting a divorce, and Jesus came in and set them free. They came in, they saw the truth. They got in an atmosphere of the presence of the glory of God. God touched them and set them free. And I want to tell you, it changed my life because it changed the way they parented me. And you see, I never have been drunk a day in my life. I never slept around. I was a virgin to the day we got married. I treat my kids with love. I'm so grateful for the things that my parents have raised me in. I've never walked away from Jesus because my parents taught me to know who Jesus really is. And if you don't think that He's good, I've got some great news for you. He is so much better than you think. You might be having the hardest time in your life, but I'm going to tell you that this word says that all the goodness that He has stored up, laid up for those that love Him. And I want to tell you, God is so much better than you think, kids. I want to tell you there's one strategy the enemy has. It's to make you think this is boring. It's one strategy he has is to make you parents think, I don't have time to read the word. My life is full. I want to tell you, you don't know what true prosperity is. You don't know what true life is until you get your eyes in this book and it comes alive to you. Because you realize, kids, this is the only book in the universe that's actually not a book. It's a person. His name is the Lord God Almighty of heaven and of earth. Because He said in John 1, in the beginning, kids, this will blow your mind. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if you want to know what God's like, if you want to know what we're going to be doing in heaven, if you want to know the kind of life God wants you to live at school, in your workplace, you want your marriage to look like, your finances to look like, all you got to do is open up this and find God's will. Tonight, we're going to talk about radiating heaven, because you see, you were not born to live like hell till you get to heaven. That was never God's intention for you. Sickness is never God's intention. Poverty is never God's intention. Rebellious, running away your kids from Jesus was never God's intention for your life. The devil's a jerk. And he's done his very, very best to get you so busy that you don't have time to read this. He's gotten us so busy, I'll make myself prosperous. Whereas my Bible says the Lord delights in the prosperity of His people. God wants to prosper you. God wants your family to be prosperous. He wants your emotions to prosper. He wants your business, your family, your marriage. He's the restorer. And I promise you, you won't get it until you understand that you can only get it from Him. You can, listen to me, you can only get true prosperity for your life from Jesus Christ. You can get it in a measured form. And you see, the devil is so clever. What he does, he always brings an imitation of the things of God. So he'll bring you a tablet and the doctor will say, here, take this tablet. This will fix your problems. But you see, it just masks the surface. It never gets to the root. He'll say, here, just try this, try doing these, go to this counseling session. But I want to tell you why, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you don't do any of those things. I'm not saying you don't go to the doctor. What I'm saying is you have more faith in what Jesus has done for you than you have in a tablet. You should have more faith in the love of God. God is fighting for you. Here's my question. Will you let Him? I want to show you tonight how easy it is to let God fight for you. I need a volunteer. Who's fearless? Who's brave? Yep, you got your hand up right there. Up you come, sir. I pick you in the red shirt. Make it quick if you can. All right, look at that. Give him a big hand. Come on, he's excited. He's pumped. Look at this. Man. Dude, you got an AFL shirt on. I like you better already. What's your name?
Alex.
Alex. Great name. All right, Annex, I want you to come over here. We're going to do something. Annex, we're going to do a little story. I want you to pretend, just for a moment, it's your birthday. Show everyone your happy face. That's pretty good, all right? So, Annex, I want you to imagine it's your birthday. Annex has invited me, kids, to his party. I'm excited. Now, when you go to someone's party, what do you normally bring them if you get invited? Call it out. One, two, three. A present. Now, it's not on the invitation. It doesn't say, if you don't bring a present, don't bother coming. It's not there. People are too polite to write that, but that's really what they mean. And so I've got you a gift. I didn't know what you like. So what I've done is I've got you $20 here, okay? This is a gift for you. I don't know you that well, so it's the measure of my gift, all right? So the better that someone likes you, hopefully the more money they spend on you, all right? So, Annex, I've got $20 here. It's a gift. Now, listen, I worked for this, okay? I work for it, but I want to give it to you, okay? So what do you have to do to get this? Have a think. What do you need to do to get it? Have a think.
I don't know.
Doesn't know. That's a bummer. All right. Well, do you have to dance for it? No, you don't have to dance for it. Okay. Do you have to sing for it? No. Okay. You could say thank you. Look at this. Try it. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Oh. Now, I want you to see what happened when he did something when he said thank you. That was powerful. You see, if you just say thank you, just say thank you.
Thank you.
Did he get it? Saying thank you is good, but it's not the action that gets it for you. He almost did it. Try it again, except this time, I want you to say thank you and reach out and take it. You ready? Try again.
Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Wow. Hang on. Some of them missed it. It was too simple. I want you to see, in the kingdom of God, it's not just thank you, God. In the kingdom of God, it's thank you with faith. In the kingdom, it's God, thank you, and I believe it's mine. Let me see again. Happy birthday. This is for you.
Thank you.
Give him a clap. Bro, you can keep the $20. It's all yours. Yeah, you're done. You're done. He's out of here. Woo! He's off to McDonald's for a happy meal because it's a happy day. Now, did you see? Who wishes they volunteered now, kids? Okay, that's a new box of Lego. Well, half a box of Lego these days, outrageous prices. Now, I want you to see, the reason I use money is because I knew it would get the adults' attention. And so I want you to understand the kingdom of God is very simple how it works. You reach out in faith and say, thank you, I take it, it's mine. The problem where we go wrong is that we take it and it's mine, and when it doesn't happen that instant, when we don't get healed that instant, when our child doesn't come back to Jesus that instant, when we don't get a call for a job that instant, we think it didn't work. But it's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom says, I want to show you in Hebrews 11, verse 6, a powerful verse. It says this, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what did he have to do in faith there? Did he work for the $20? Do you have to work for your healing? Do you have to work for your children to come back for Jesus? Do you have to work for your salvation? No, it's a free gift, but you have to believe it's for you. You have to actually go, hey, that's mine. Jesus paid a really high price on the cross in his life's blood for me to have that, for me to be prosperous in my emotions, for me to live without depression, for me to live without anxiety. And so instead of just standing here going, well, thank you, God, please heal me, God's saying, reach out and take it. Believe you receive it. Mark 11, 24 says, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. Everyone say, just take it. Awesome. That's my introduction. Here we go. Lord, I thank you tonight. You are so good. Lord, the goodness you have stored up for your families here tonight, for individuals, Lord, for grandparents tonight is so good. I ask that you would open the blind eyes, the spiritually blind who are not seeing you in the light that you are, and they would see your heart for them. They would see the price you paid for them to live in freedom. They'd see the devil's a thief. He's come to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus, you've come to give us life. So tonight we put faith in your word. We proclaim your word tonight, and we expect you to show us your glory tonight in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen. Praise God. Well, a few weeks ago, I was in Auckland in New Zealand. I was doing some ministry there, and you know, I spend as much time as I can. We do a lot of traveling this year. My wife and I, we have been away a lot. And we've had the privilege of ministering all over Australia, seeing literally hundreds and hundreds of decisions for Jesus. We started our Winning with Kids parenting ministry based on the Word. And we've seen many, many incredible testimonies of families being touched and changed, not by our parenting strategies. I want to tell you, my opinion will not change your life. But the Word of God applied with faith will change your life. And so that's what we've taken up with our parenting thing called Winning with Kids on Facebook. We've had testimonies of kids with autism getting delivered and set free. God healing, testimonies of families stressed out, burned out with parenting, encountering the power and the presence and realizing God wants to help them. God cares about your parenting. You know, it's one of the first easiest ways to radiate Christ is in your children. Before you even speak a word and say, I'm a Christian, people just look at you and they look at your family. And this is not a word of condemnation tonight if your kids are not in the greatest place, if you feel like you're not doing a great job in parenting. This is not a condemning word. This is an encouraging word to say. They call it, your home is the first church. Home is your first place of evangelism when you go out to people. People just see your family's life and go, you've got something I don't have. And what better testimony than for people to know the way your children used to behave and see, my goodness, what happened to your family? You say, Jesus came in. Jesus showed up at my house. Jesus knocked on my door and I decided I believed him and I was going to actually let him in. You know, most of us, we can spend our life letting Jesus live on the porch. Maybe letting Jesus live in our spare guest bedroom, but we're not willing to really give him over the keys to our house. You see, a lot of people, you can come to church every week. You say, yeah, I've got Jesus. He's staying in my guest bedroom. But you've got four bedrooms, a kitchen, a bathroom, a laundry, a shed, all to you, where Jesus doesn't have access. And Jesus says, hey, why don't you give me the keys and you come and live in my house? Because you see, the owner of the house always has to answer the door. So when fear comes knocking at your door, you say, I love Jesus, but we haven't given him everything. So when fear comes knocking, we answer the door. and it causes us to run around ragged. When sickness comes knocking on our door, we have to open the door. But you see, when you give Jesus the keys to your life and you say, Jesus, I'm not holding back anything. I give you everything, my mind, my job, my finances, my children, whatever you surrender to the Lord, guess what? He'll answer the door for you. And when the devil comes knocking at your door with sickness, because mark my words, just because Jesus lives in your house doesn't mean that sickness isn't going to come, doesn't mean a bill out of the blue is not going to come, doesn't mean everyone at work's going to all of a sudden be nice to you. It doesn't mean you don't have a challenge. It just means Jesus answers the door and the devil goes, oh, sorry, wrong house, and goes to somewhere else. And we've got to be willing to fight for that, because we always want to take the keys back off Jesus, want to take the keys back off Jesus, because fear says, how can I live this life? How can I do this? How can I solve my own problems without God? God, I want you in my life, but it's going to take time to press into your word. And you know that I don't really have a lot of time, so don't worry, I'll just logically think about this and we'll solve it ourselves. When you see, the Bible says, all the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and Christ is in you. All wisdom you've abounded in. All goodness, all spiritual understanding is in your spirit, man. It's in your spirit, man, inside of you. And he's like, let me out. But you got to give him the keys. And tonight, I want to show you very simply how we can do that. But what I was talking about, I was in Auckland. I get distracted easy. Whew, okay, focus, Sean. I was in Auckland a couple of weeks ago. And you know, you never know what's in store for your tomorrow, but Jesus does. I want to encourage you. God knows your tomorrow. And so I get off the plane, I'm tired. I booked an Airbnb of a week of ministry in schools, and I rock up to this house. I got out of the airport. I just want to show you how imperfect I am. Got off the plane. It's late at night, and there's this lady, and she's in such pain, walking through the airport. And I just have in my heart, you know, just go pray for her. Just go pray for her. I believe God does miracles. I've seen God do it. But I was tired. And I got off and I looked, and it was so quiet. The airport was so quiet. No one was talking. And I'm like, oh man. I believe Jesus wants to heal her. I don't want to embarrass this girl, you know? Like every single person who gets off that plane is going to see and hear the entire conversation. Literally no one is talking. And I walk past, I'm like, what am I going to do? She's in pain. And I'm ashamed to say I walked past her. I didn't pray. Fear got I took the keys off Jesus. And I walked out and I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. Lord, you're so gracious. There's no condemnation for those in Christ. Lord, give me another chance. If you want me to pray for her, give me another chance. And half an hour ago, I go through customs. I get out to McDonald's and standing out the front waiting to get picked up by the taxi. And guess who should come and stand right next to me? Oh, this lady. Oh, but it gets worse. So I say, okay, Lord, I'm going to pray for her. So I walk up. I'm like, hey. I see you, hey, it's good to see how you just come in from, she goes, yeah, I'm on the women's New Zealand rugby team, have been over in the Gold Coast playing at the game, and I had to come back, you know, hurt my back, and I said, oh, you know, like, is it okay? I'd love to, like, pray for, nah, I'm okay, yeah, don't worry about it, hey, it's fine, the doctor says, no problem, hey, don't worry about it. I said, no, I'm really, would like, no, I'm not interested, it's fine. And I walked away, and I was like, got in the car and I was like, man, I should have fought more. God, you want to touch that woman. You want to touch that woman. And I let her response to me dictate what you wanted to do. I was like, God, you love her. And I got home and I got to my Airbnb and I was feeling a bit down. You know, you've ever had a down day where you let your emotions rule you? And so I got to my Airbnb and check in and there's this guy I'm staying with. And anyway, turns out he's a full-on atheist. And so that wasn't on his Airbnb profile, by the way. So anyway, I get to his house, and you know, there's times in life where things happen. I planned for that to happen just then. That was perfect. Where stuff happens, life happens, emotions overwhelm you. You run out of time to spend with Jesus. So much stuff comes against you. You don't get time to get in God's word. You don't feel like God's with you, that you can feel spiritually dry. And when life squeezes you, nothing of Jesus comes out. and just all of you. Anger, frustration, worry, fear, impatience. And as I walked up to Airbnb, I've got to tell you, I felt a little bit like that. And I get there and I just start chatting to the man and find out he's a full-on atheist. And he just starts getting stuck into me about Jesus. And I want to tell you, my heart was racing. I was sweating because I'd already missed it that night, you know. I'd already missed it. I was like, oh man, the devil's getting his baseball bat out and hitting me tonight. And I got to my room and I just felt dry. And I'd only been reading the word not long before. I just felt dry. I was like, Lord, I'm here for 6 nights with an atheist. He already hates my guts on the first night. Because when you hang out with me, you get Jesus. Sorry. Not weird, just nice. Love you. And so last, I got to my room that night and I was like, God, what do I do? And I sat and I started to read the word. He started to read the word. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit, He'll show you things to come. He'll guide you in all truth. And I was like, Lord, even in 1 John 2, it says, but you have an anointing, holy man of God, holy woman of God. You don't need anyone to teach you. The anointing's going to show you what to do. Have faith in the anointing of God. Have faith in the fact God chose you. And so I just started to read this word and I just started, you know what? I started to decide I'm not going to live by my feelings. I'm going to live by what God says. And as I began to just read the word, it was amazing. I just began to feel Him soak my heart. And all of a sudden I felt, man, the love of God just oozing off my life. And so I started to pray for Him that night. I said, Lord, I'm not going to live in anger. I'm not going to live mad at this guy. I mean, he was swearing at me. He just went off at me. And you know, the natural response is to live by your emotions and just fire one back. But Jesus says, this is how they'll know you're my disciples, that you love one another. Romans 2:4 says, it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. And so I thought, Lord, it's not going to be my fancy conversation and hitting him on the head that's going to win him to Jesus. It's going to be you. Lord, I'm feeling dry. I need more of you. I need more of you. And so I get up in the morning and I go and I make him breakfast. I didn't feel like making him breakfast. He didn't deserve me to make him breakfast. But I made him eggs on toast because that's all I know how to make. And this is me. Dripping a little, and he wakes up in the morning and he goes, you made me breakfast after what I said to you last night. I said, yeah, I told you Jesus lives in me and I told you that he loves you, so I have to love you. True story. And he goes, okay. And later that day, I just keep praying for him. I'm ministering at schools. I keep trusting the word of God. I'm listening to it in the car because I'm going to minister. I'm praying. I'm listening. Going, God, help me. Help me, Lord. I'm praying for him. And he comes back. And that night, we chat a little more and one of his friends come over. And she's open to the things of God. So we start talking. And she's like hungry. She's like taking it in. And he's like, all right, this is my house. Don't want to hear this Jesus stuff in here. Just stop it now. I don't want to hear it. Just the enemy, man, robbing this precious woman. His experience with God and Jesus has robbed him of relationship with God. And I was like, God, I need you more. I want you to break through this man's heart. It's a God appointment that I'm here. Everywhere I go is a God appointment. Everywhere I go is a God appointment for me to radiate heaven, for me to radiate his love. And I'm trusting in him. And you know what? I get up that next morning and I come downstairs. And he's a major radio DJ host. He's on one of the major news radio channels in Auckland. And I wake up in the morning and he goes, I YouTubed you last night. I said, oh, really? He goes, I've got to be honest with you, mate. I thought you'd be absolute rubbish. Turns out you're pretty good. You got a song called Stop and Listen to Your Mum. That, mate, you're onto the money there, mate. That's a good one. He goes, I sent it to my sister. She's into this Jesus stuff. She'll like it. And so we're chatting a little more and he's softening a little bit. And do you know what's awesome? I didn't really have to talk about Jesus that much. He just kind of oozed the love of God, the kindness of God. And so that night, I'm thinking, I'm taking ground. And that night, Auckland has the biggest storm it's had in about 20 years. 140k an hour winds, bucketing with rain, and my room starts dripping water everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. My shower, you know the ceiling fan in your shower? It's literally, imagine someone got a bucket of water and just poured it through there. Just like, constantly, 2, 3, there is water all over my Airbnb room. And so I'm thinking, Jesus, I need your grace. Because I'm awake at 3 a.m. in the morning, listening to water in my bathroom, water in my room. But Jesus says the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Jesus said, he'll know this, that we love one another, Sean. And when life squeezes you, when you're full of Jesus, all that will come out is Jesus. But when life squeezes in you don't have Jesus in you, all that comes out is you. And my Bible says that we're called to put off the old. Put off the old selfish nature and put on the new nature who's been renewed in knowledge. And so it's amazing. I get down in the morning and he sees the house is covered in water, just everywhere. He comes up to my room, it's dripping. And he's like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry. He's like, you're not even mad? I'm like, dude, Jesus lives in me. I mean, he's getting stuck into me, so I'm just loving him back. He goes, I can see that. He goes, you know what? I got to tell you, I went to work last night. I talked about you on the radio. I said, really? What did you say? He goes, yeah, I told him. He played me the interview. He goes, so, ladies and gentlemen, New Auckland, you know, I've got this Jesus fella staying at my house. And to be honest, when I met him, I thought he was an absolute nut. You know, talking about Jesus. Yeah, I got brought up in the Catholic Church. I know all about this Jesus, and he's absolutely a load of garbage. And anyway, he goes on talking, but he goes, turns out this guy's amazing. He's really kind. He's the real deal. He loves kids and travels around the world talking to kids and families and helping them. And he just spoke so highly of me. And he came back and he goes, you know what? I'm so glad you came and stayed at my house. The next day is his birthday. It's my last day at the house. I was feeling my heart, write him a card, put some money in there and just bless him. So I write him a card, put some money in there, leave it on the table for him. And I say my goodbye and I leave. And he calls me later that day and he goes, you know what I've got to say? I used to be mad at God. But meeting you, you showed me a different side of Jesus that I've never known. He goes, you are an exceptional man. And I want to tell you, I know that you speak in churches. He goes, but what you did today, leaving me a gift, blew me away. He goes, you don't even know me. I was so rude to you. He goes, I want to let you know, next time you come to Auckland, you tell me where you preach and I want to come and see you. He goes, I know what would mean stepping inside a church. I know what would mean stepping inside a building. But there's something about you that I've never seen. And he messaged me a week later. I bought some groceries. And this is what I love, the power of just putting off the old nature, put off the old, keep giving Jesus the keys back. You want to take them back? No, Lord, they're your keys. No, I gave you my house. I gave you my life, Lord. It's yours to have. That when you continue to give it to him, he'll continue to work miracles in others' lives through you. And he messaged me a week later and he goes, dude, I just opened the cupboard, finished off those eggs and things that you left here. He goes, talk about loaves and fishes, mate. The gift that keeps on giving. And I thought, praise God, the same guy that missed the opportunity at the airport the night before, God says, it's okay. I knew you wouldn't do it anyway, Sean. Yet I still asked you to do today because that's how highly I think of you. You see, that's how great the gift is that I put inside of you. I see it. Jesus is like, I see it. Do you see it, Sean? Do you see what I see? And the Lord led me to this verse in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2. And from that moment on, I made this my mission to live this out. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph, even when it seems like he does, even when it seems like you're in defeat. He's leading you into triumph. He's leading you into a place where you're going to overcome, because he's already overcome the power of the enemy. And it says this, and through us, everyone say, through me, kids, through you, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge, of his goodness, of his love, of his kindness, of his generosity in every place you go. God wants to use your family, your business, your marriage, your life to diffuse the aroma of the kingdom of God. He wants you to radiate heaven everywhere you go. And the only way you can get it is when you say, Jesus, you can have the keys to my life. Every bit, my mind, my heart, my finance, everything I have. There's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to a dead end. It leads to death. I'll try and get us out of this financial hole. I'll try and fix my marriage. I'll try and fix my children. But Jesus is like, commit your way to the Lord, Psalm 37. Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your parenting to the Lord. Kids, commit the bully at school who's making your life horrible to the Lord. Kids, you can't read. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you've got ADHD. Commit it to the Lord. Lord, you didn't make me like this. This is the enemy trying to rob what you put inside of me. I commit my sickness to you and I say, it's not me. I'm healed in Jesus' name, because my Bible says that he bore my sickness on the cross. Jesus, not a fool. He could have just died without being beaten. There is a reason he was whipped beyond mud. It was for your healing. There was a reason he was pierced in his hands. It was for the prosperity of your hands when you work. There's a reason they were crowned on his head so that you would have dominion. There's a reason for everything in the kingdom of God. And you'll find it when you turn off my kitchen drools and you say, Lord, show me who I am. Show me what you've given me. I want to be like the young man that says, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is for me. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen. God has a hard time saying no. He will not say no to you if you're walking in his will. What's his will? To prosper, be in health, and that your soul would prosper. 3 John 1 verse 2, prosperity is not an evil idea. God wants you to prosper your emotions, your health, and your finances. I met a man at the airport the other day. I was walking through and he was sitting at the airport and I met him about 3-4 days earlier in Kalgoorlie and he was chatting with me. He's a man, he said, I live by faith. I said, aren't we all supposed to? He said, yeah, that's true. He has 8 children. Felt like the Lord told him to quit his job. He's an engineer. And he literally has no income and he just walks around telling people about Jesus. It's awesome. I was like, dude, give me your bank account details. I'd love to just bless you. So he gives me his bank account details and I go to my room that night and I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to give him? What do you want me to give? Because I radiate the kingdom of God everywhere I go. Lord, if I can sow a seed into someone, we can bless someone. I want to be a part of this man winning souls to Jesus. I want to be a part of sowing into this. I want to be a part of Heart for the House. Lord, I want to be a part. Use me. Use me. Use me. I want to sow seed. You see, a farmer can't get a harvest unless he sows a seed. You can't get a harvest unless you sow a seed. You can't raise children who will run after Jesus if you never get in the house of God, if you never read the Word of God, if you never live out the Word of God. You can't expect to see healing in your life if you'll never believe for it. You've got to sow a seed. Jesus said the principle of the seed and the sower, he said every other parable, the whole kingdom of God is based on this. You go read it. In the book of Matthew, it says, every other parable I tell is based on this one principle, sowing a seed, reap a harvest. That's why the Bible says, God is not mocked. A man will reap whatever he sows. And as I was there, I met him. I said, Lord, what do you want me to give this man? I didn't feel nothing. So I thought, you know, I was going to put a bit of money. I logged on. My bank wouldn't work. I was like, what's going on? Like, the app's not working. I thought, I'll just leave it. Anyway, I never saw the man again. I couldn't even remember his name. And I 3 days later, I fly into Kalgoorlie. I fly from Kalgoorlie to Perth, get out of the airport, walk outside to go catch my taxi to my hotel. And I was like, man, I'm busting, go to the toilet. Run inside, and there's this dude sitting on the couch in the airport. I said, dude, what are you doing? I was like, bro, forgot his name. Bro, how you going? If I ever call you bro, it's because I forgot your name. Or if you're a girl, that'd just be weird. But anyway, I said, what are you doing? He goes, dude, I'm just sitting here waiting to catch a plane. I said, oh, that's awesome. When's your flight? He goes, I have no idea. I said, what do you mean? He goes, God told me to sit here. He's going to send someone who's going to buy me a ticket because I have no money to fly home. I said, dude, I tried to put some money in your account like 3 days ago, but I didn't know how much and it didn't work. I said, let's go get you that ticket. And I got to hang out, and I had a spare bed in my hotel. He came back to my hotel that night and we hung out and we caught the plane the next day. And I was sharing with him, and he's like, you know, he came the whole weekend. He just bought a toothbrush. He came for 4 days, didn't bring a change of clothes because he said, well, Jesus just said, don't take anything with you. And I said, dude, you need to learn to prosper. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, if God hadn't prospered me, I couldn't have bought you a ticket. And he went, oh. And he began to realize God wants our families to prosper. God wants our finances to prosper. God wants our health to prosper. And it's all in here. Don't you dare let the enemy lie to you and say, you don't deserve it. Oh, that's just this gospel. This is the kingdom of heaven. Do you think there's any poor people in heaven? I don't think so. How are you going to radiate heaven without prospering your marriage, without prospering your family, without prospering in health? It doesn't mean challenges don't come. It just means I'm going to stand in faith. I'm going to stand on the promises of God. I'm going to radiate heaven. I'm going to be the aroma of Christ everywhere I go. And I don't care what I see in front of my eyes. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I refuse to believe it. I don't care what somebody tells me. If it doesn't line up with what my Jesus says, I'm not going to believe it. This is how you have to live. The Bible says it's not by might. It's not by power, not by logical thought power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And that's why Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewed to what? Renewed to think like God. That's why Corinthians says, you have the mind of Christ. Tonight, we're going to pray. And I believe that God wants to do some renewing in the house tonight, to renew some thinking, to think like God. We're supposed to think like God. We're supposed to talk like Him. We're supposed to act like Him because we are sons and daughters of God. We are called to radiate the kingdom of heaven. And I want to encourage you, it starts at home. It starts at home. It starts in your workplace. And if you'll stand on the Word of God, you'll see God break through. I want to dare you this week to thank God and take it. God, I thank you for our breakthrough in my workplace. I thank you, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to believe that it's mine. And it doesn't matter if it doesn't happen the next day or the day after that. It doesn't matter if it doesn't happen for 3 years, because God said all the promises of God are yes and amen. Psalm 89 says, I am the Lord. Malachi 3, I am the Lord. I do not change.
We hope that this message has blessed you. For more information about Influencers Church, go to influencerschurch.com.